Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 3 of week number 42, studying Mark chapter 14. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series. Or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. To stay current with these IGH 260 programs, you can access them 24/7 at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. This reminder, not just about Mark's Gospel, but about all of the New Testament. The "you need to move from here to there" divine directive that we find throughout God's revelation can be summed up in 3 words in the New Testament: faith, repentance, baptism. Each one of those words enjoins a starting place, a starting place that never ends. Faith, biblical saving faith, in order to be what God wants it to be, will always continue in the direction that God wants it to go. That kind of biblical saving faith, it never stops. Repentance, the fruit of godly sorrow that leads to salvation, according to what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, repentance, that never stops. And baptism, our death to self and sin, and then alive to and for Christ, that initial obedience, baptism has never been a one-off act of faithful obedience. No, it has always inherently called for our complete and our ongoing, our daily surrender to Jesus from that point forward. We cannot love, respect, serve, and honor Father, Son, and Spirit apart from these modeling Jesus elements. As we study the New Testament, we are never far from any text that encourages and that directs us to be Jesus' kingdom disciples through these key principles and the kind of God-like, Christ-like, Spirit-like life that they anticipate. They are always there. We see them introduced in the opening verses of Mark chapter 1, for example, and we see them finalized in the closing verses of Mark chapter 16. Let's return to our study of Mark 14, continuing our expanded outline of the chapter. We take up where we left off. Mark 14, verses 32 through 42, Gethsemane. Jesus prayed, the disciples slept. Verse 32, Jesus and the disciples traveled to a place called Gethsemane. Jesus told his disciples to sit here while I pray. Verse 33, he took Peter, James, and John further into the garden with him, and Jesus began to be troubled and distressed. Verse 34, he spoke to the disciples and said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. Verse 35, Jesus went further into the garden. He fell to the ground, and Jesus prayed that if it were possible, this moment might pass. Jesus spoke to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Verse 36, he said that all things are possible for his Father, and he prayed, take this cup away. But Jesus also prayed that he wanted God the Father's will to be done, and not just his will to be done. Verse 37, Jesus came back to the disciples. He found them sleeping. Jesus spoke to Peter, and he said, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Verse 38, As Jesus continued to speak, he told the disciples that they needed to watch and pray, to be on guard against temptation. Jesus knew that they wanted to do his will, but Jesus also knew that their flesh was weak. Verse 39, Jesus left the disciples again. He did so in order to pray once again. In his prayer, he spoke the same words. Verse 40, later, when Jesus returned to the disciples, he found them asleep once more. Their eyes were heavy, and they did not know how to respond to Jesus. Verse 41, Jesus came back to the disciples a third time, which, though not explicitly mentioned in this passage, means that Jesus went away into the garden the third time, and that Jesus did so to pray to his heavenly Father for the third time. When Jesus returned this final time, he asked, "Are you still sleeping? The time has come." Referring to himself, he said that the Son of Man was about to be betrayed. Verse 42, Jesus told the disciples that it was time to get up and to get going, for the one who was about to betray him was close by. Mark 14, verses 43 through 52, Gethsemane, the betrayal and arrest of Jesus, and the apostles flee. Verse 43, as Jesus was still speaking to the disciples, Judas, one of the 12, came. He came with a large crowd of people. Some carried swords, some carried clubs. They came from the priests, the scribes, and the elders. Verse 44, Judas had provided a signal to indicate who Jesus was. He told them that, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one." The last part of the verse interestingly says, "Seize him and lead him away safely." Verse 45, Judas, when he arrived, went directly up to Jesus. He called him Rabbi, twice in fact, and then Judas kissed Jesus. Verse 46, those who came with Judas took Jesus. Verse 47, someone standing by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, and he cut off that servant's ear. Verse 48, Jesus spoke to those who came to take him, "Have you come to me as if I was a robber, coming with swords and clubs to take me?" Verse 49, "You could find me daily in the temple, teaching, but you did not take me then." The closing part of that verse reads, "But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Verse 50, those who were with Jesus ran away. Verse 51, there was a young man that had followed Jesus. He was wearing only a linen cloth. Others attempted to grab this young man. Verse 52, but he fled, leaving the linen cloth that he was wearing behind. Mark 14, verses 53 through 65, the trials of Jesus before the high priest. Verse 53, those who came to take, that is, to arrest Jesus, led him to the high priest. Others were gathered together with the high priest, including all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. Verse 54, Peter followed Jesus, but he did so at a distance. He traveled up to and into the courtyard of the high priest. Peter sat with servants, evidently those of the high priest. He sat by the fire so that he could warm himself. Verse 55, those gathered together, the chief priest and all the council, looked for someone to testify against Jesus. They did so as a means of condemning Jesus so that they might have cause to put Jesus to death. In this context, they found none. Verse 56, there were, however, many who came and lied about Jesus, but their lies, called their testimonies here, they did not agree. Verse 57, eventually there were some who came and bore false witness against Jesus. They said that, verse 58, they heard Jesus speak of destroying the temple, and that within 3 days he, Jesus, would build another temple, even doing so without hands. Verse 59, there were elements of even these witnesses that did not agree. Verse 60, at some point during the proceedings, the high priest rose, and he asked Jesus, in essence, "Are you going to reply to these charges? what about these accusations made against you? Verse 61, Jesus was silent. He did not respond to the high priest's questions. The priest asked another question of Jesus. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Verse 62, to that question posed by the high priest, Jesus responded. Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Verse 63, the high priest tore his clothes. He said that there was no need to have any more witnesses. Those present, he said, heard what Jesus just said. Verse 64, they, according to what the high priest said, heard the blasphemy. The high priest asked one more question. This one evidently was posed to the priest, the scribes, and the elders, to the other members of the council that were present. What do you think? Their response to the high priest's question, they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Verse 65, some present spat on Jesus. They blindfolded Jesus. They beat Jesus. And mockingly, they challenged Jesus to prophesy. The officers hit Jesus with their hands. In Mark 14:66 through 72, the trials of Jesus, Peter's denials. Verse 66, Peter was still in the courtyard of the high priest. One of the high priest's servant girls came. Verse 67, she saw Peter warming himself by the fire. She looked at Peter and she said, you were with Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 68, Peter denied what she said. He said that he did not understand what the servant girl had said. Peter then went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. Verse 69, the same servant girl saw Peter once more. She told others nearby that this, referring to Peter, this is one of them. Verse 70, Peter denied his connection with Christ a second time. Later that evening, others who were standing around spoke to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Verse 71, Peter began to curse and swear, and for the third time he denied that he knew this man of whom you speak. Verse 72, the rooster crowed again, and Peter remembered what Jesus told him earlier that very night. You will deny me three times. Mark 14 closes with these words, and when he thought about it, he wept. We will take up in our next broadcast with our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of Mark 14.